Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide. I got some special guests tonight. The hosts of the Orange Men podcast, David and Clint. Couple of political smack talkers that love freedom, beer, and America. What's up, boys?
Oh, that's exactly that. Well put. Well put.
What's up, Alan? How are you?
How you doing?
Yo, what's going on? How's everything? All right?
Fantastic. Now that we're able to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, a little technical difficulties. It's all right. Yeah, yeah. That's all that matters.
I'll eventually get this.
What's your setup you got there?
No, my setup's basic. It's a BS microphone, a mixer, and that's it. Into the computer. Everybody who has a voice should be starting a podcast. The more of us out there, maybe we can get rid of some of these idiots in mainstream media. You know,
absolutely.
Well, we should all be becoming the news.
I agree. Absolutely.
So I want everyone that listens to me, the two or three of them that are out there. maybe four. Tell everybody about your podcast. First of all, the Orange Men podcast. Obviously, it's, you know, the background. We got the Donald J. Trump. So, but what do you guys talk about a lot? Probably a lot of the same stuff I do. You know, bullshit destroying the left, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And while drinking some beverages. Yeah, and somebody just called us a couple of foul mouth podcasters. I didn't realize we were
really?
I didn't realize we were so dirty. But
so does that mean you offended a listener or that they were triggered or something?
Yeah, I think I did, but that's okay. You know, you can't make everybody happy.
They unsubscribed.
Did they?
They said they could find information in a cleaner spot.
Yeah, that's half our audience right there. One guy.
Yeah, well, you know. Fuck them.
Yeah,
that's what I have to say about that. So we know as I guess we'll label ourselves as conservative podcasters, there is so much material out there. Like if we were stand-up comedians, we would never run out of material with all the bullshit that goes on with the left, the progressives, you know, from impeachment 3.0, the January 6th commission, which has been a debacle. The last couple days. First of all, I want to ask you guys, what do you think about these four Capitol police officers that were up there crying their eyes out, talking about how, you know, they were being attacked? Come on.
First of all, if I was a respectable police officer, I wouldn't be up there complaining and crying my eyes out. Let me just say, if this was a real attack, mm-hmm. and they really wanted to defend. Listen, if they were doing that if they were at the White House doing that, they'd be shot on sight.
Snipers on the roof, man. You wouldn't even make it.
The fact that they were the doors open wide and they were allowed in speaks volumes. This whole thing was staged. I don't care what anybody says, because you know, me and Clint talked about it in some of our earlier podcasts after it happened back in January. The police are highly trained. An unarmed mob does not just barge in. It doesn't happen. You have to acquiesce to them and let them in. There's no other explanation for it.
There were videos. I don't know if you saw. I just saw them recently. There was a video, I guess part of the surveillance tapes, that there were people coming in. You know, they were wearing their tactical vests, like, you know, protesters, rioters, whatever you want to call them. And then there were police officers handing them visitor stickers, and they were putting them on their chest, like, "Hello, my name is Tom. I'm here to visit the Capitol today." They were handing them out.
Yeah,
ridiculous. Well, on top of that, you know, there was some people that got into that building and acted ridiculous. 100%. There was some dopes in there. There's no question about it. And obviously we don't condone violence and we don't condone riots. But what we're trying to do is just point out the hypocrisy of it. You know, cities burned for a year and a half and no one said a word. Peaceful protests, they call it, with burning buildings in the background.
Summer of love.
Exactly. So we're not trying to We're not trying to justify anything that happened on January 6th, but we do know. We know that Trump didn't incite a riot. We know he said, go there, let your voices be heard peacefully.
Yes,
peacefully. And that incident was provoked. They were provoking the protesters that were there to the point where some of them took advantage of it and acted stupid. So absolutely, that's really where we're, this is no insurrection.
No.
I'm sorry, I talked too
much. No, you're good.
No. Clint, what do you got, Clint?
But getting back, like, if you remember the day of, or even shortly after, because they shut down the internet, so nobody could really live stream anymore. Mm-hmm. Once people started releasing their videos, you saw, like, the people that were on the front lines that were attacking the cops, those weren't Trump supporters. Like, some of the stuff, you know, whether they called that guy the N-word or not, that's not Trump supporters. When you watch Summer of Love and all that stuff, what did you hear coming out of Antifa and all those people's mouths? That's what you heard. I saw a guy that had Hillary for prison on his vest, and they were flipping out. And I said to myself, I said, if I saw a cop wearing that on his vest, like on his, you know, on his plate carrier, I'd be like, yo, check this out. That's great. They were pissed off that he had that on his plate carrier. And I'm like, clearly that's not anybody from our side. It doesn't make, and they were showing up with the pink gas mask and already, you know, they were already prepared, a bunch of those people. There's
They had videos of people over by like a tree, and they were changing.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. They were changing into, like, you know, tactical fatigues, or mm-hmm. and I think one of them even put a Trump hoodie on that he took out of a duffel bag. So you're going to show up to a protest and with a duffel bag with a Trump hoodie in it, when you should probably already have had it on if you were at the rally supporting Trump. Right. It's just complete nonsense. And yeah, anyone that decided to walk in the Capitol and be an idiot, yeah, they got their trespassing charge. They got their, you know, all the nonsense charges they had. I tell everybody, it wasn't an insurrection. Go find me a charge of insurrection. Find me a charge of sedition. Find me any charge that has to do with overthrowing the government. They had 500,000 people there on a Wednesday. If 500,000 people on a Wednesday wanted to overthrow the government that day, they would have.
They could have.
And it didn't happen.
And when they say armed insurrection, there was no guns or anything found. You know what I mean? Like, who?
No. And not inside the Capitol, no.
No, but I mean, as far as I know, anybody outside of the Capitol, other than, like, the pipe bomb. You know what I mean? Where's the pipe bomb guy? You know,
well, that's another thing. That's another thing. How come there's no big investigation on tracking these pipe, these so-called pipe bombs that were at the RNC and the DNC, whatever, a block or two away? You're telling me, first of all, if you've ever been to DC and you walk down the streets, you know every building, almost every street corner, there's a surveillance camera. Yeah. And we know that there's, like, a combined, like, 14,000 hours of video footage that's not being released for a reason.
Yes.
Why isn't it being released? Where is all this truth and transparency? What don't they want people to see? And then we have these police officers. So I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of family, law enforcement. I respect law enforcement. I'm just, and people can hate me for this. I look at Capitol Police as glorified security guards, with the exception of those that have prior real law enforcement experience, meaning they might be a Philadelphia cop or a New York City police officer or a DC Metro cop that are running to gun runs. They're making gun arrests. They're doing things. Some of them are veterans. One of those, I saw a feed, I think, on Instagram. It was a veteran feed, a military feed. And one of the cops, I forget which one, I think it was one of the sergeants. There were guys on there that actually served with that guy in the military. And they were like, what the hell is this guy talking about? The only thing he did in the military was drive a truck. He didn't do anything. They were calling him out by name. One guy's like, I can't even believe he's a sergeant in the Capitol Police.
It's 88 Mike.
Right, yeah. And then you have the other guy. Yeah, the other guy, the black guy, I forget his name. You know, he's a BLM activist. He's over there taking pictures with Schumer in his office, Nancy Pelosi over here.
I saw them.
You know, it's why didn't they have up the Capitol Police union leader up there asking him questions about the unpreparedness of the Capitol Police and why they didn't have that place secure? Why didn't they have the guy in charge of the union? Not for nothing, the crypt keeper of the Capitol, who's in charge of protecting the Capitol, Nancy Pelosi, she should be answering questions about all of the instances where it's reported that they said we don't need the National Guard, whether it was 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 times they said it. The sergeant at arms at the time, when is he going to be brought in to testify?
Well, that's the whole reason why she put her little commission together. So it was people that were on her side that would only ask the one questions. I saw a picture today of the one guy who, I guess, the guy who looks like Hunter Biden almost, with a beard, and he's got the spider tattoo on his neck. Yeah. They showed him he was in the Capitol with a flag dressed in plain clothes. He was carrying one of the flags around. Everybody's like, wait, is this that same guy that was just testifying the other day? Everybody's like, what are we doing? Like, this is such a scam.
I saw that too, and I saw the picture. I'm not going to turn around and say that I'm going to say for sure that I think it's the same guy. They definitely do look alike. I was really looking at the pictures. It's possible. It's possible. There is so much conspiratorial shit that goes on both sides, but it's possible. I mean, Kevin McCarthy's they're going to bring Republicans on this committee, and then Nancy Pelosi has a shit fit and bounces two of them off because they know Jim Jordan would have put on a show there, but rightfully so, he would have pointed out and highlighted certain things. Yeah. There was no hard questions. Liz Cheney, a Pelosi Republican, that guy Kensinger crying. Somebody should have bitch slapped him. I mean, come on. Adam Shit, Schiff, whatever you want to call him. I mean, they're all just it's all that, and I hate that term political theater because everybody uses it on the news. It's all nonsense optics. All they're looking to do, see, that's the thing, and I always say, Democrat strategy. They will do anything they can to try to destroy and smear their political opponents out of fear because they are so scared of their orange boogeyman and what he might do in 2024. I mean, did you see today? I don't know if you saw. I think it was today. The DOJ goes to the IRS. We're telling you that you have to release Trump's tax returns to Congress. The guy hasn't been in office in 7-8 months. Like, really? Why? Why are we wasting Congress time on the orange guy's tax returns?
Because
why?
They want to catch him in an aha moment. You know why. That's not going to matter. Let's look at, like he said, let's look at Pelosi's. Let's look at Chuck Schumer's. Let's look at Adam Schiff's. Let's look at all these, Mitch McConnell's. Let's look at all these people's tax returns. Let's look at Joe Biden's tax returns. I mean, where's all he, like all these people have enriched themselves to offer the backs of the taxpayers. And
well, Joe's been very good at it, funneling it through his family.
No, I know that. But then they just want to be like, Trump's the bad guy. He's been using the loopholes that they've been putting in place. The government put those in place. All the big Democratic donors have been doing the same thing.
Trump is the bad guy. No, he's the guy. To them, he's the bad guy. He's the one that's going to straighten all this nonsense out. He's the one who exposed all this nonsense right from the beginning. And that's why they went after him so hard. Trump's not a political insider. He's an outsider who's going to run this country like a business. And he called every one of them fuckers out.
Donald Trump was, five short years ago, he was an everyday guy, a billionaire, real estate tycoon in New York City. People were trying to get him to run for Roger Stone told him in 1988, you should run for president. And his response was, what are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? He didn't want to do that. In the 90s, Richard Nixon wrote Trump a letter and said, you have what it takes. You should run for president. And that was after Roger Stone introduced Nixon to Trump. And he told Roger Stone, that guy's got the stuff. He's got the stuff to go all the way. And so they knew. They Oprah Winfrey. Oh, do you think you'd run for president? Nah, I don't think I would unless America needs me because I love America. Chris Wallace in the 80s. Do you think you'd ever run for president? And he said, no, but if I did, I'd probably win. And he did. But why were people so excited that Donald Trump was running for president? Because he was saying, fuck you to the establishment.
Absolutely.
And the establishment has been panicking ever since. He is still haunting their dreams. It's amazing. There's so much other shit this country should be doing. And they all they're doing is worrying about Donald Trump and his cult. What are they going to do? What are they going to do next? Oh, my God. They're all white supremacists. They love their American flag. I love my American flag. Does that make me a white supremacist? Fuck you. No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Makes me an American.
It makes me an American. The whole thing. Well, the American flag all of a sudden to the left doesn't mean unity. It doesn't mean being proud of America. Now it means division. Now it means white supremacy because someone might fly it on the back of their pickup truck. Give me a break. It's just that they're so scared of that they will do anything now that they have that power to keep it.
America. That's what they're trying to do. Just divide everybody between everything.
There's nothing right now that unites.
Like if I see a person of color, so to speak, wearing an American flag, I'm not gonna be like, hey man, you can't wear that. That's only for whites. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not the way it is. Everybody that lives here is an American, regardless. I mean, whatever you identify as is fine, but we all should be living under the same flag. And we should all be proud of the flag because this is the greatest country to be born in and live in. And that's why there's hundreds of thousands of people trying to get here all the time.
Millions.
Yeah, millions. You know, the other thing is with a lot of these young, the millennials, I forget who it was. It was a video. They were going around. It was like a beach town or something. They were asking young people, what do they think when they see people wearing an American flag on their shirt? And it was amazing on how many people said, well, you know, they're probably a little over the top. They're probably a racist. They're probably a Trump supporter. They're probably a Republican. Not, oh, that's someone that's proud of their country. There were a lot of people that said that too, but it was amazing on how many people said, the flag is like a sign of division and racism and you know, just that America's bad, you know? Yeah. And it's like, and then they said they did a poll and it was like, I think more than a third of young people, like in colleges, that they embrace and support a socialist platform of a country, which I can't compute how any rational American would want government like in control of every aspect of their life. Like go to Cuba and go to Venezuela and see how that works out for them, you know?
Well, unfortunately, youth is wasted on the young. And, I, you know, listen, when I was that age, I struggled. So I thought that the government was the only way. I had that mindset. I was raised a Democrat. You know, Democrats are for the poor. Republicans are for the rich. You know, so I was taught to hate Republicans. And then one day I realized, wait a minute, I want to be rich. I don't want to be poor with my hand out all the time. So I grew up, you know, and I think we don't give these kids a chance to grow up because the indoctrination starts way earlier. And, you know, when you give people stuff, I mean, look what the welfare system did to the inner cities. Destroyed them. And we watched them for, and I'm 57, for 50 years, you know, 50 plus years, not getting anywhere. You know, all we do is we build them new homes, but they never go anywhere. No. We're holding, and quite frankly, and that's the Democrat Party, quite frankly. And you want to talk systemic racism? That's it. That's it right there in a nutshell.
Oh, absolutely. All the racism comes from the left. All they want to do is divide. It's like they're divide and conquer. We have to divide everybody into identity groups, identity politics, by race. You're black, so you should be over here hating the whites. You're straight and Republican. You should be hated by everybody.
Yes.
you're a guy that wants to put a dress and a wig on and be called Shirley when your name is Steve. So you go over there, but we'll protect you, even though we Democrats think they're disgusting. And it's just Democrats always exploit the lower class and then tell the lower class or minorities that they're behind them and they're going to do things to help them. And they never do. They never, ever do. And then they turn them and say, well, capitalism is bad because, you know, according to Joe Biden, black business owners can't get accountants and lawyers. I have black friends that are accountants and lawyers that have great businesses. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, it's because like you said, they're just trying to use like, oh, you can never be this. You can never be that. So why bother? Just stay here and we'll take care of you. And people are like, all right, but you can do better if you just apply yourself and put the energy into wanting to do better.
Yeah, but we don't tell people that. That's the problem.
Well, I'm telling people that now. No, We've been telling people that. You don't have to live under the government rule because...
Yeah, but the government gets their power from holding people down and controlling them. Without the control over the American people, the government has no power. Yeah. And these Democrats are all about power. It has nothing to do with anything other than that.
Oh, there's a reason why they're there for 30, 40 years because they need it.
The government's using all their exploitation for... They've been using it for their advantage of this... total power grab. I mean, look at the pandemic with the now with the mask mandates and now with the jab shaming. You don't get the jab. You don't care about your fellow man. You're out there killing people. Yeah. I go outside every day and I don't see anybody dying in the streets from
not a one. Well,
and hospitals are not crowded, by the way. They're not crowded. And then they talk about variants that they're naming after fraternities. The last I heard of Lambda Lambda, it was Revenge of the Nerds in 1984. And so, like,
that's the only people that were afraid of the Deltas was the Tri-Lambs because they were beating them up on the campus.
But,
Clint's a movie.
I was going to post that meme, but you jumped on it.
I just... The end game. What's the end? They want to divide. They want to divide the overreaching, the attempted force compliance. No, it's not happening. Everybody needs to get the jab so we can go back to normal. Well, a lot of people got the jab, but now we're going to blame all these people and politicize it and say, well, all of Trump's cultists are not going to get the jab, which is bullshit. Like, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. Right. The orange man has no bearing on if I go and get a vaccine or not. I haven't had a flu shot. I'm 42 years old. I've never gotten a flu shot. Don't want one. I'm choosing not to get the jab because it's just how I roll. I just don't want it. If people want to get it, great. Go and get it. I'm not going to tell you not to get it. I'm not going to tell you it's dangerous. I'm not going to tell you it's going to kill you. I'm not going to get it because somebody has to be around to kill the zombies. That's it. I'm like, what are you guys drinking over there? Clint's pouring stuff, I can tell.
Can you give me a glass, honey?
I'm just pouring a
Corona. You guys have
a blue moon. I'm taking it easy.
Wait a minute. You guys have Corona. You guys have fucking table service where you are?
Yes.
Give me a Corona.
Yes. that's my bride.
Ah, the boss. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, I was going
to
say that.
So back to like you were just saying about the variant stuff. Part of my feeling, I think, because they went.
I don't have oranges.
That's okay.
Yeah, hi, honey.
Say hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, there you are. Look at that handsome guy.
That's great. Oh, thanks.
Sure.
She says that to me too.
Oh.
You look alike.
I felt special for a second.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
They look alike.
We look alike, she said.
Yeah, we look exactly alike.
I don't have my readers.
We could be brothers, Al.
Yeah.
All right, listen, I'll take it. I'll take it.
So I think what's going on with the stuff now with this variant is it's like because they were like, all right, well, we're going to lift the mask mandates and stuff like that. And everybody's like, I mean, the people that were all kind of wearing their masks because they didn't want to get shamed are like, cool, I got the juice. We're good.
Right.
And then it's like, wait, now everybody's not wearing their masks. So now they're going to divide us back into going, hey, you know what? The people that are vaccinated, they're spreaders now. So put your mask back on. And then it's going to be like, well, all the people that don't have their mask on are the people that are not unvaccinated. So now you can be like, hey, you didn't get vaccinated. I saw you in the store last week and you were weren't wearing your mask.
Right,
like, I think it's kind of like that division thing. And some of it's probably the facts of what you said. Like, there is the variant and it's... But they're making it out to be deadlier than it is, and we know that's not the case.
Which is bullshit, because that's how they're trying to spin it.
Yeah.
It, I'm not a virologist, I'm not a doctor, but when you have a virus, just whatever it is, a flu virus, they have a vaccine. The virus evolves and mutates into other viruses, and it maybe circumvents that vaccine or whatever it might be, like that's just what viruses do. So if they now they're talking about all these variants and saying, oh well, now these jabs might not work or as good or be as
right.
as efficient. But then they turn around and say, well, if you have the jab and I don't, you shouldn't have to worry about me. But what they're trying to do is, well, all these other variants. First of all, how the hell do we know what variant is what when there is no definitive test for that specific variant? They still just have the COVID test, so when you go...
Even that, they pulled those off now, the PCR test. They pulled them back because they're like, well, you can't really decipher between coronavirus, COVID, and the regular influenza. So they're like, we got to scrap those PCR tests because those aren't working as well as we thought now.
Well, the Delta variant used to be the Indian variant, and you could tell the Indian variant because it had a real thick accent. So that's how you tell that. I'm coming to kill you.
Well, I think with the Indian variant, when they were showing that, and all the people within India were like showing on their social media, was like, no, everybody's fine here. Nobody's dying. I don't know what they're showing you, but this is how it is. Nobody's getting sick here.
It brings everybody to like, well, what is misinformation and what's not misinformation? What's the truth and what's not the truth? Because we have a government that has flip-flopped these bureaucrats like that idiot Fauci who should be in handcuffs right now. What's the truth? We have now, I think, some documents leaked recently within the last couple of days that the CDC was admitting that it was trying to go hardcore on coercing Americans to go out and get the jab or to wear mask mandates. Basically, we got to amp up the fear. So my opinion is, you know,
we're not scared.
No, I'm not scared. I mean, anyone that's scared, you know what? If you're listening and you're scared, or you know someone that's scared, you're an idiot. You're a moron because it's obvious what they're trying to do. Midterms are creeping up, which means election time, boys.
That's so what Dan's been talking about for the last couple of weeks.
If they could keep this up and then get areas to lock down and get areas to shut this down and to not do that and comply and overreach and mandate, what's going to happen? We're going to go back to just maybe just mail-in ballots, and then we're in the same boat that we're in from the 2020 election.
Well, that's what Merrick Garland came out yesterday, yesterday or the day before.
What, out of the closet? Did he finally come out of the closet?
Well, he came out and said that the states have to go back to the pre-pandemic voting system. You can't change it anymore. And it's like there's a bunch of states like, no, we're done. We're done with that. We changed it. These are our new laws because it's the state. This is how the states do it. We're not going back to that nonsense of, like you just said, the mail-ins, the drop boxes, the 50,000 votes that just show up because, oh, I found them into my knapsack and I forgot I left them at home and I brought them to the counter today.
Right.
Get the hell out of here.
You know, it's right in the Constitution. We have an election day. It's in the Constitution that the states are in control of their election process, election laws. Some states have voter ID. Some states don't. Everyone should. That this whole attempt to federalize the elections it's a disaster. I mean, it doesn't look like it's happening, thank God, but everything is about control. What do you think, Dave?
I'll tell you, they got away with it once, and they think they're going to be able to do it again. And quite frankly, I'm not sure we're going to be able to stop them. What they pulled off was unbelievable.
You're right.
And it's so unbelievable that if you say they got away with something, you're crazy. People think you're nuts. People think I'm a conspiracy theorist. They got away with this. And their goal is to get away with it one more time so they can get a bigger majority, get rid of that filibuster, change these election laws, and then you will never see another Republican president ever again. And socialism is here. So we got till the midterms of 2022 to make a real difference. If we don't, we are effed with a capital F.
I'm going to tell you the only time socialism comes to the United States of America, if there are 50 million more Americans laying dead in the street, that's when you will see socialism in America. Because I am a firm believer that there are enough Americans, maybe not 75 million, maybe not 50 million, maybe 30 million, who are pro-America, pro-freedom, pro-Second Amendment, who are not going to allow the government to control their lives, because we have this little document right here in my pockets. This is my vaccine passport, the Declaration of Independence and Constitution of the United States.
Absolutely.
It's not going to happen. And I had this conversation with people. They will pick up my body on the front lawn of my house when it comes time to now starting to remove people from their homes because, you know, all of a sudden we're going to become a socialist country. Well, after I'm dead.
I'm with you. Let me just tell you, 57 years, I've never owned a firearm. I own one now.
Yeah. See?
I saw a TikTok video of this ex-Marine. He was an African-American guy. And he's like, I heard they're coming. He's like, Dustin, he's got it in the plastic wrap, his Marine uniform. He's like, it's been a while since I've wore this. But
he's like,
you come to my house and want to vaccinate me, I'll kill you. And he's like, I'm not playing around. He's like, I will kill you.
I truly believe there would be mass mutinies in government and law enforcement, both on the local and the federal level, if something like that were to be tried. I mean, so for instance, like we could talk about, like, let's just take Nancy Pelosi for a second. She made a rule just the other day that she's going to mandate masks back in the House chamber. The Senate hasn't done it yet, but Nancy Pelosi did in the House chamber. And Republicans are revolting against it. They did their little walk over to the Senate with no mask on. And she says, well, she's ordering the Capitol Police to arrest people.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. What are you arresting people for? Because there's no law on the books for law enforcement to enforce on mask mandates, proof of jabs in businesses. So people could call the police all they want, and I'll say most police officers are not going to want to or be able to do any type of enforcement. There's nothing we can do. There's no laws. Until there's a law and there's legislation passed by the House, passed by the Senate, and signed by the senile old bag in the White House, there is nothing, or if it happens on a state level, a state law, executive orders are not laws.
Right.
They're not laws. I'm in New York. I'm in the blue bubble. Who knows what Cuomo is going to do? He's already telling state workers that they have to get their jab. De Blasio in New York City is telling them that New York City employees have to get their jab. I'm hoping that the union stand up.
Yeah, I was going to say especially in New York, where did the union stand? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's been quiet so far.
Like my son's he's in the army, and I was asking him about it, and I'm like, so if you have these blood clot issues and stuff like that, he's airborne, or just even in general, like these guys fly 8 to 10 hours across the ocean. If you got people that are dying because they're having aneurysms and blood clots, or if some guy jumps out of the airplane during training and he has a blood clot or aneurysm coming down, who are you holding liable? And then with the unions, like you got these union work. Let's say some crane operator's working on a high rise and has a brain aneurysm, or a blood clot goes into his heart, stops his body, and just who do you hold accountable?
So it's true, because you can't hold the vaccine manufacturers. The three of them have given civil liability; they can't be sued.
They wash their hands.
So now my thing is, if your employer is going to tell you, all right, Clinton, Dave, in order to come to work, you got to go get the jab and you got to go, you got to show proof, or you got to get tested twice a week. My answer, I would say, challenge it and say, I'll get it if you sign this piece of paper that you take full civil liability if I have any adverse reactions. Here you go. You sign that. We'll get it notarized. We'll give it to an attorney. If something happens to me because you made me get this in order to keep my employment, you are going to be held civilly liable when my family sues your ass.
That's a great one.
I don't think. First of all, they're not going to want to sign it. And then what? They're going to fire you. Do you know what the court? Do you know what the court calendar is going to be like for employees suing employers? Granted, most civil service places, you can't sue your employer. They have it in their union contracts, but not for nothing.
What was it? The mail carriers, 280,000 of them said they weren't doing it.
Yeah.
Carrier's union, you know what I mean? Like, good.
And you know, Clint, to go back to the military, my brother-in-law right now, and he's in his early 50s. This is his last deployment. He's in the Navy. He just went to Africa, and we were sending a lot of assets to Africa, and we have a lot of special forces assets there from what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
So he said to me before he went, he said when he gets settled there, he'll be able to text and tell me more. They weren't making him go for any like critical race theory or any type of sensitivity training. And they haven't been saying anything about the jab mandates. And then what I just learned from somebody, actually, I learned it from you guys did a show with him, from Ben from Pilsners and Politics.
Yeah.
Ben told me, and I didn't know this, there's case law, I believe from 2000 or either 2000 or 2002, John Doe versus Rumsfeld, where the military cannot mandate servicemen and servicewomen to take any type of vaccine if it's not FDA approved. That's another thing. All this mandate bullshit. We're talking about an emergency experimental liquid that has barely been tested. You know, it's not like this has been like a 5-year test trial and it's like, all right, it's okay, no problem, 5 years, I'll take it. Because I'll tell you, if it was tested for 5 years and it was FDA approved, I probably still wouldn't want it, but
alive for those 5 years and you've been all right, I still wouldn't take it. What would be the point of taking it? You know what I mean? Like,
right. But if people, if people were actually really getting sick, I'd maybe consider it. I don't know I'd still take it. The testing, I mean, you know, yeah, Donald Trump did a great job. He told everybody, listen, we're going to have this by the end of the year. Nobody believed him. Mainstream media called him a liar and a whack job. Politicians, Democrats called him an idiot and a whack job. Dr. Fauci would not advocate or to take it until after the election. And then all of a sudden, yeah, you got to go and take it. You know, they don't give him credit for Operation Warp Speed. I heard just something recently that Biden supposedly said something in one of his comments. He actually gave Trump credit about the vaccine. I haven't heard. I didn't see it, so I don't know what he actually said. But again, the overreach, and I've been telling so many people, if I walk in, all the places I go to now, you don't see masks unless people want to wear them themselves. I don't even see the signs in a couple places anymore that says, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. Like, yeah. I go to the CVS pharmacy by my house. They don't even have that sign up. But whatever. People want to wear them, fine. I don't care. I don't give a shit if you want to wear a pink bunny suit and go out to the supermarket, wear whatever the hell you want. Just leave me alone.
Yeah, leave don't bother me. Alone.
Don't bother me, okay? So it's I had somebody ask me. It was in a CVS. It was a woman, and she was a CVS employee. I walked in. I was in the store for about 2 minutes, and she ran into me in the aisle, and she looked at me, and she says, she had a mask on, and she says, "Sir," I said, "Yes." I thought she was going to ask me about a mask, but this was well after the whole "you don't need one."
Yeah.
They had signs up that said the fully vaccinated. If you want to wear it, you don't have to, whatever, optional. She looks at me in the eye and she says, "Are you vaccinated?" And I looked at her and said, "Have you ever had an abortion?" She didn't really know what to say, but she said, "Excuse me?" I said, "Well, since we're asking each other personal questions,
right,
and we're at that level, we don't even know each other's first names. Since you're asking me about my vaccination status, have you ever had an abortion?" Well, she turned around and she walked away. But you know, it's like, use common sense. The HIPAA laws don't apply. I know people have that argument. The HIPAA laws don't. People are allowed to ask you. I could ask you anything. We could sit there and talk and say, "Hey,
I don't have to tell you."
You know, exactly. It's the same as, "Hey, Dave, do you shave your balls?" Well, it's none of your business. Exactly. Well, it's nobody's
sometimes.
Business.
Depends on the occasion.
Bring your wife back. I'll ask her.
You know what? She wouldn't even notice.
But, yeah, my go-to is like, "Hey, do you have HIV? And they're like, "What?" Like, why would you ask me that? Well, exactly. What are you bothering me for? Get out of here. Leave me alone.
To say that Go ahead.
People are just empowered now to mass shame and to ask questions like that. I mean, you know, people don't even say hi to each other, but you can walk up to somebody and say, are you vaccinated? What are we doing? What have we created?
For a year and a half, society walked around like they were walking around in a third world country wearing burkas, where all you saw was their eyes. Imagine what that was doing to kids. Yeah. You can't see facial expressions.
Yep.
A five-year-old might not understand what a smile is, you know, or just – and then it feels good to walk around and be able to see somebody smile, to just have an expression, you know? But they want to take that all away again. And there's no science whatsoever to back it up at all. The sheriff in Los Angeles, Villanueva, said, I'm not going to have my defunded sheriff's department go out and enforce mask mandates when there's no science to back it up.
Right.
And thank God there are people out there that are willing to do that. He doesn't care. He's an elected sheriff.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's an elected official, so he kind of has to play his little route there. But
still the truth.
No, I agree with you. I agree.
He's elected.
Other than the people telling us on the big screen on the TV or your phone going, hey, man, got to be safe out there. What are you I've been fine. Stop telling me to be safe.
It's just...
Yeah. You never cared before.
I'm hoping that people really this time around realize what those shutdowns and just the lockdowns themselves, because I feel like they're going to come in certain places. I feel like they are. They're going to attempt them.
Yep.
And the problem, like where I am, is it's like, you know, Cuomo and his Gestapo.
Yeah.
All he has to do is tell the state liquor authority to tell every bar again they have to shut down. Or they're subject to $25,000 fines, and unless they pay that fine, they'll never be able to serve another drop of alcohol again, because they have them by the balls.
Yep.
That's the biggest problem.
I saw a good tweet today. It was like, if lockdowns worked and masks work and vaccinations work, why are we starting this all over again? You know what I mean? What sense does it make? Why are we going to lock down again? Why are we going to mask again? Why are we going to, you know what I mean?
For total control, it worked
so great the first time. We should be over all this. Oh no, it's because you people didn't do it right the first time. All right.
It's to divide and conquer.
Yeah, yeah, we know.
It's for, you know, everybody has to just not forget like what's happening all around us. It's you know, we're all witness to one of the biggest attack in modern U.S. history on our rights and freedoms.
Yeah.
Okay. From the massive, again, overreaching and mandates. And, you know, you said earlier about, I think Dave, you said about, you know, we created government. Yeah, I think you said that. And it's funny because I even posted something like this on my podcast page. It's, you know, God created man created government, and now government wants to play God.
Right.
No. How about that? No. Put me in handcuffs, put me in a boxcar, bring me to the gas chamber, do what you got to do, because I'm not going to comply. And I'm hoping that everybody just looks at the big picture this time and realizes they don't want to go back to that. They don't want to go back to being unemployed, sitting at home, worrying about paying their mortgage and worried about losing their business, worried just watching the idiot box, being paranoid, wondering if you're 10-year-old is going to be so depressed that you find your 10-year-old hanging in their bedroom closet because then they're not talking about the massive depression amongst kids and the suicide rates and the drug
250% over the last couple of, you know, I haven't seen it recently, but I know like eight months into the lockdown last year, it was up 250% of suicides between, you know, teenagers. And I mean, I hope no 10-year-old's taking their life. That's insane, but I'm sure it's happened.
The fact is that the depression rates for everybody have skyrocketed.
Yeah.
The drug overdoses have skyrocketed. I mean, let's face it, more people are dying from heroin overdoses in the United States than this any ridiculous virus
you,
that's
you can't
out
talk about
there.
That. That's yeah.
you know
that's,
right.
That's part of the pharmaceutical plan, though, too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to keep got the Narcan and everything else keeping everybody going with that.
And you know, when we were talking about the variants, they're not they're less deadly than the other one, but they're more transmissible. So that's what they're working their fear on, and more transmissible amongst young people. But it doesn't mean it's going to kill you faster, or it's going to it's going to be more lethal than the original virus. No, it just means that young people, like the flu, like if we were all hanging out together and Dave had the flu, chances are in the next 4 or 5 days, me and Clint are going to have the fucking flu.
Right.
Okay, but none of us are going to die from it as long as you're a healthy individual. And that's what I say. If you want. If you're at high risk, if you're 915 pounds because you can't stay away from the Big Macs, or you're 80 years old, or you have underlying medical problems, and you want to go get the jab because you have your individual risk assessment and your individual liberty and says, hey, I'm going to get it. Go get it. Go get it.
Yeah.
Good for you. Go get it.
Well, but my stepfather was diagnosed with COVID at the age of 90. It's fine. He's still alive. Bastard
still
won't
alive.
Die.
Yeah, I wish. Why can't we mandate like 30 minutes, 40 minutes of exercise a day for everybody? You know,
well, there's no money in it.
Six salads for everybody a week, you know, mandatory six salads. You know, mandatory.
Let's not get crazy. Let's not get crazy. Six salads. What are you crazy
about? Over the course of a day, you could have a couple of meals.
I haven't had six salads in a year.
I'm just saying, like,
say.
I mean, if we're going to mandate nonsense, let's just start, like, let's knock out, let's mandate no smoking for, you know, 3 days straight.
Well, it's like, all about big business. It's all about money. You got the crappy food, the McDonald's, the Burger Kings, the packaged food, the processed food. All that is designed to make you eat more of it and make you sicker so the drug companies can step in and give you drugs to make you feel better. It ain't going to cure you. You know... it's a law that only a drug can cure a disease. It's a law. No one else is allowed to claim that vitamin C or whatever else cures a disease. Only a drug. But there isn't a single drug that has ever cured a disease. Never.
No.
Now, make you feel better. It might reduce some of your symptoms, but the root cause is still there and you're still going to get sick and die from it.
It'll reduce your symptoms and give you like 10 other things to
bloody stool and seeking private parts. And
10 other things to worry about.
Your eyeballs might fall out.
What's really, really funny, is how they were trying to, you know, bribe Americans to get the jab, saying, oh, well, we'll give you a free deluxe cheeseburger and fries and a chocolate shake. We'll keep you healthy if you shove this down your gullet and go and get the jab. We'll give you this for free. Now Joe Biden wants to give $100 for every person who goes and gets the jab.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. So
out of the $1.9 trillion he's given to the states for the family fund or whatever it is, the Family Care Act, he wants the states to divvy up $100 for every person. What's $100 anymore? You know what I mean?
Well, so okay, let's take that for a minute because I don't know what the requirements are to go and get a jab. When you go, do you have to show your ID?
Yeah.
Do you know? You do?
Yes.
Oh. So we need ID to go and get a vaccine, but not vote. Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, that answered my question because.
But you could probably go to multiple different spots and get a couple hundred dollars in over a course of a day if you're willing to risk it.
If I was a drug addict,
you know what I mean? Yeah, or a homeless guy.
I was a homeless guy living behind Burger King, and I saw this. I'd be traveling to vaccine sites saying, "Hey, you know, give me the jab. Where's my $100?
Before
you know
I hit the database, here, let me hit as many as I can.
I made $1,000 today.
but then hold on. If you need
an ID because that's the only way they could track who actually got it.
But what if you don't have an ID? Does that mean it's racist?
Yes.
Because I don't.
Well, that's why they're sending people to your house.
Of course,
they're going to send people to your house. And
isn't everything racist?
Everything.
Yeah, everything is.
Polar bears, milk. It's all racist.
Snow.
hard-boiled eggs are the worst. I have 12 racists in my refrigerator right now, white supremacists. I can't wait to fry them.
You don't eat the yellow part, right? Because that's Asian. You're full of Asian hate too, right?
We're going off the rails here.
No, I'm just, you know what I mean? Like,
I love going off the rails.
I'm just saying, everything's racist, and, you know, we got to separate the yellow from the white.
Separate the yolks from the...
I think anyone who only eats egg whites, not only a pussy, but you're a racist pussy. How about that?
You're going to get a lot of liberals in trouble now.
Amen.
With their egg white omelets.
Liberal idiots. Oh my God, I can't.
Listen, you know, we wouldn't have any fun if it wasn't for them. That's the one thing.
We wouldn't have anything to talk about without the stupidity, but the stupidity will always be there in certain levels. But right now it's like, I mean, you know, come on.
It's up here.
It's off the charts.
It's crazy. Hey, really, really quick. Cause you guys are in PA, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you guys see this, Teddy Daniels running for Congress in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Did you guys see that yet?
I saw it. Yeah.
Did you see the campaign video?
Yeah. He's
running for Congress in Scranton. He's in one of those bikers for Trump. He was a few years ago. He's an Army vet, and he was in, I think it was either Iraq or Afghanistan. He got shot. He had a helmet cam on, and he got shot. And it was controversy. The Army wanted to keep him quiet. Then they allowed the video out, and he didn't like that the video was out because he's a tough guy. But he got shot in the arm, and he was worried about the video because he's like, I've been hit. But it's not like he was crying like a little girl, but he was embarrassed by it. But he made this campaign video. He lives in Lake Ariel in the hideout over there. And he made this campaign video with he's in there. He's shooting a 50 cal. He's blowing shit up. They're talking about like Pelosi. And it is. You got to watch the video. I emailed him. I went on his Facebook page, and he engages a lot on his page. And I'm like, I tagged him. I'm like, hey, I want to get you on the podcast. And he tagged me back this morning, and he's like, hey, hit me up. And he put his email. I'm waiting for him to respond to the email.
Nice.
Guy. I mean, the video itself is just worth watching. It's like a four minute video. It's hilarious. It's like a minute movie.
I forget now. But there's a guy that's trying to get you have Sean Parnell out in Western Pennsylvania. He's like an ex-Army Ranger guy who – I believe probably won, and he should keep on fighting for it.
Right.
Because I believe it was whatever. You know what I mean? Air quotes.
Don't say it!
But
Don't say it!
But there was a guy, there's another podcast.
Stolen!
The guy Eli Crane, who has Bottle Breacher, the bottle openers and stuff like that, he's running in his little district or for state representative.
And there's something like 6 or 7 Navy SEALs that are running. I was like, this is great. We're going to have the SEAL caucus in Congress. This is great if they all win.
I forget who it was. There was somebody I was listening to who was trying to get those guys to, like, he was talking with all those, you know, ex-operators, love of country and stuff like that. They know leadership. They know stuff like that. And they were like, these are the guys that we need in Congress because they love the country. They know what it's about. They know what it's been like in the fight and war. And hey, we can't just blindly send guys over there for no reason.
They understand the sacrifice, too.
And the sacrifice.
And they're not political insiders. And that's what we need. Less political insiders, more outsiders, more people who love this country, and more people who want to make this country great again.
Yeah, not racist Joe Biden's who spent his whole life in politics and amassed a huge fortune and huge houses, millions of dollars. I mean, how much of a segregationist? I mean, how much of a hypocritical piece of shit can you really be? You know,
he's very much.
But he gets away with it. This freaking media is out of control too. I mean,
well, you know, I don't know if you guys are not
even semi-biased anymore. No matter what you're watching, it's nothing. Just, I mean, it's just.
Like, well, you're right. You said it in the beginning, Alan. It's.
But even like
it's us now. You know, and I said, you know, early on, I said, you know what, even if we reach one person, if everybody gets on a mic and reaches one person. You know, we need to be heard.
And start looking up information for yourselves. That's why we're putting it out there. I mean, whether you agree with it or not, and hey, watch these guys. They're a couple of idiots, and they're drinking and having a good time. But as we're going along, we're throwing out factual information from news situations that have happened over the course of the week, just like you do. You're reading it.
We're just regular dudes.
You're coming up topics of the – and you get some great guests on, but it's also people need to look into it for themselves.
Yes, and I – so when I went into this podcasting, I said I'm not here to convince anybody of anything. Yeah. I'm not here what I'm doing is, first of all, I started a podcast because I'm a Facebook fugitive, and every time I say something on Facebook, I get in Facebook jail, or recently worse, they just nuked my original account from 2008. Woke up one morning, gone. Wow. So I'm like, I tell you what, thank God I have other administrators on my podcast page, which has like 10,000 followers, because if I didn't, I have a business page on there also from one of my businesses, and I was the only administrator, and they nuked that. So. Wow. Because I had other administrators on it, they didn't nuke the page. So I had to make a new account. They had to make me an administrator so I can have control of it, because obviously Facebook doesn't care. I got my eyes opened a little bit doing – I did a short episode with the Facebook whistleblower, Ryan Hartwig, who came out last year. And he wrote a book. I just ordered it about Behind the Mask of Facebook. And I tell you what, the Facebook moderators, they really see a lot of shit. He was telling me that people all over the world, they'll post a beheading, they'll post a terrorist something or another, they'll post a gang rape, they'll post all kinds of stuff. And these guys have to turn to a screen. They have 30,000 pages of community standards. They almost have to play like paralegal. Quick, look it up and get it down as fast as they can. They're in rooms of hundreds and hundreds of people. And then he saw it went astray to bias towards conservatives and what they were being told to do and all that stuff. I came on to give my opinion based on what I'm seeing out there, because objective journalism is extinct. There is none. But that also goes for the right also. Like, I watch Newsmax, I watch OAN, I try not to throw up all over myself, but I'll watch CNN sometimes. Sometimes I like to watch the gender neutral potato Brian Stelter just to see what kind of shit he's saying. But
he's crying about.
Yeah, what he's crying about. And it's always, Trump is such a bad man. It's 6 months, he's gone, Don Lemon. Trump is such a bad man, and all those MAGA hat wearing racists, they keep me up at night. Shut up.
Yeah.
But it's just insanity, and people like us, and there's a bunch of them out there. I mean, look at us. We're on social media, and we're in a group together with about six or seven other conservative podcasters from all over the country, and we're not just repeating the same thing. We all have different views on everything, and I tell people, if you have a voice, get online, start a podcast, or engage with a podcast. I tell people constantly, email me, shoot me an email, get me on social media, send me a comment. What's your opinion? Maybe I'll talk about it, something. But, we all just have to keep trucking. Speaking of, you guys are having a party there, and you have to get back to the party. Tell everybody.
No, there's no party.
There's no party. I wish my house sounded like that every day. There's no party. Hey, over here, get me a Corona. Here comes a Corona. I'm over here with a 105-pound German Shepherd sitting at my feet alone. No one's giving me a Corona. Nah. So where is everybody finding the Orange Men podcast? Where, I know you guys have been banned a couple places or something like that. Where are you now? You're on Rumble. I know that. But where are you guys?
Well, he's the media genius. we just got back on YouTube under It's Okay to Be American. Because we got
It's Okay to Be American presents the Orange Man podcast on.
Oh, you had to change it up. You had to go like incognito.
Because we weren't deleted off of YouTube permanently, so to speak. But
so right now we're stealthy. We're on YouTube.
Rumble's the big spot.
Yeah, Rumble. Where else?
Dave posts clips and stuff on BitChute.
BitChute.
Some videos. I mean, I throw up random videos on Rumble and BitChute just over the course of the day to week. Of just different stuff all week long, and obviously our Instagram page.
But you're on
Twitter.
You're on Spotify and all that. Too, right? You're on all the platforms like everybody else. I'm gonna
you can hit our links, and we have a link tree or a bio link bio, whatever.
I'm going to put it all in the show notes for this episode so everybody could see it. So,
awesome. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right, listen, boys, David and Clint, I appreciate you you're shooting the shit with me. I had fun.
Well, that's, what I, that's another thing, like, me and him talk about. Like, it's also therapeutic for – I know you do a couple of shows a week, so you kind of you kind of cranking them out so you get your therapy out. We're doing it once – you know, once a week where we're like, all right, let's just cut loose and
– Yeah, Friday night,
let
blow
it
all
let
out.
Let it fly.
I am actually – I was supposed to start on August 5th, but on we did the final testing today. We have one more thing to do. August 12th, I'm going to be doing a – live stream show. It's going to be live every Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be on Facebook. I think it's going to be on Rumble. It might be on a couple other platforms. And cool. when my website's done, it's going to be on my website. It's going to be live produced. I'm doing it full balls to the wall doing it. Hopefully people will watch me or at least get, you know, send me some dirty comments. But I just, you know,
as long as they engage, that's all that matters.
Yeah. It's exactly. Love me, hate me, I don't give a shit. I'm just, yeah. I'm doing this for me, but I'm also out there. If I can open at least one person's eyes to certain bullshit that's going on out there,
yep.
And you know what? I'm happy. So
awesome. Good for you, man.
All right, listen, everybody, go and check out the Orange Men podcast. They will, all of their social media will be on the show notes. As always, you can check out all the episodes over at thegreatdivide1776.com. And take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And most of all, God bless America. Take care, everyone.
God bless.
Alan, thank you.
It's okay to be American.
Take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.